Amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the very familiar Psalm 23. Just don't forget, right after this morning's message, at the conclusion of our service, one of our elders, Brother Walter Johnson is going to come up and give us a little bit of information regarding the wall and where we are and where we're going and what we hope to achieve. So we just pray that you would sit and stay with us afterward and be able to hear that and offer any commentary on that also. Limited commentary. Anyway. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us bow in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful psalm, this beautiful song, these beautiful words, and how much they describe and talk about your love for us and our love for you. Help us as we look at your word, not just to see the beautiful words, but to see us in the picture, to see you in the story. Bless, guide, protect, watch over, and keep us, Father, is our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know how many of you like to look at like old movies. I'm usually not a person, after I see a movie, I'm not usually a person to kind of go back and watch it again, unless it was just like a really good movie. And there are some really good movies out there, some that, you know, every now and then when the holiday comes up, you know, you might remember a certain movie. What's one for Christmas time? Die Hard. Messed my illustration all up there, didn't he? But seriously, you know, whether it's Die Hard, whether it's, you know, It's a Wonderful Life, whatever it might be. You know, you got these old familiar movies, and when they come on, you know, you kind of get transported sometimes. You know, there are some songs that do the same thing, right? There's some songs you listen to on the radio, they just come up. You weren't looking for it, but it comes up and transports you back to a point in time. You listen to the words, even some of the songs, I listen to them now as an adult, and I go, I like that. I actually like that song. Ugh. Or some that I didn't like, and then when I listen to it, I go, wow, that's really cool. That's really good. You know, well, that's what Psalm 23 is. It's so familiar to us. I mean, you can recite it, you know, you know it, you've heard it, you see it, and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes things are so familiar to us that we just kind of overlook it. And just like that familiar song, you know, it can take us back a little bit. And as we look at it again, just like some songs we thought we knew, we might discover something we didn't, or just be reminded of something, a precious memory because of it. And that's why I want to look at Psalm 23 this morning. I'm probably not going to tell you anything brand new, but hopefully to just get the excitement once again of this beautiful and classic psalm. It starts off with, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture, leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The first thing I want to look at is the love of the shepherd. Now, I want you to first remember who's writing this. David, a shepherd himself, someone that knows this content very well. He understands the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. And he sees himself, he's a shepherd, but he recognizes that there is a shepherd greater than himself. And that the life and the relationship that he has with the Father is very similar to this same relationship that the shepherd has with the sheep. And so, we're told of this great love of the shepherd. The shepherd desires that our needs are met. I think a brother was sharing a little bit about that a little while ago. He wants us, our needs to be met. He leads us in the right places. He makes us, it says, he leads us beside these still waters. Then he says, he restores my soul for his name's sake. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I was looking at Isaiah 40, verse 11, and it says that God tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Here we have an image of a God, our God, who loves us like sheep and picks us up in his arms. And it says holds him close to his heart. Think about that. Don't we do that with little precious babies that have come in and we look at them, and you know, just the other day we had our niece over, and I just love her to pieces. I'm gonna just tell you that. If you want to see me turn into a softie, put a baby in my arms, right? And I got her, and I'm just holding on to her, and she's saying cute stuff to me, and I'm just looking at her like, this is a beautiful love, isn't this? And to imagine that God, our God, thinks of us in that same way, looks at us in our helplessness and our immaturity and all of that, and still looks down with this love. And it says that he holds us close to his heart. That we're actually someone special in the eyes of the Almighty God. Think about that for a moment. How special you are to God. The Lord is my shepherd. He desires to care for us and to provide for us and to lead us and all that. And John 11, 10, 11 says, I am the good shepherd. This is Jesus now talking. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. I mean, you can't do anything more than to give the very most that you can give to your child. And here he's saying that the very most that God could give was himself. How much of himself? All of it. All of himself. His whole life. For us. If you are not starting to sense how valuable you are to God yet, I don't know what else I need to say. We are special in the very eyes of God. We're loved in the very eyes of God. The shepherd loves us. He provides for our needs. He makes sure we have enough food to eat. Hello, amen. Water to drink, enough strength to renew us, to keep going forward. And not only that, not only is he taking care of the stuff we need here on this earth, he knows that we need, Matthew 5. Not only that, but what? He also provides for us something not physical. It says he leads us to that place of the still waters. He restores our souls. See, God's in not only fixing the outside and all that, but also fixing that inner man, restoring our soul. He's about healing our brokenness, emptiness and filling that emptiness that all of us have, that void that all of mankind has. God has a way of wanting and desiring to fill us up in those areas where we're lacking. He wants to restore us. He wants to make us whole and complete. And how does he do that? By looking at our needs, by tending to us, by leading us in the right direction, by providing for us, by protecting us from dangers seen and unseen, by being our shepherd, by looking out for the best of our best interests, even when we don't even understand that he even sees the danger that lies ahead. That's the kind of God that we serve. And I don't know about you, Isaiah talks about this, that all we like sheep, we're like dumb sheep. We've been led astray. And oftentimes what happens, that's why this psalm is so powerful, because it reminds us of something we need reminding of. We need reminding of the fact that God is so loving, is so caring, protecting, and that he's leading us somewhere. We're not just aimlessly wandering here in life. There's a destination. There's a purpose to all of this. And he's going to lead us to it. But it really starts with dependence. See, the irony is you can't get all of this by depending on yourself. You're no self-made man. There's no such thing as a self-made man. No, God gives it to us. I want you to see that in Psalm 23, the beginning, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Notice that the Lord is my shepherd, and really, I'm just going to insert a word. He didn't do it, and I'm going to do it. The Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, because of God being my shepherd, I shall not want. Y'all see that? It's not dependent upon my strength and my ability and my intellect and me. No, it's because God blesses. God opens doors. God gives promotion. God does that. God is the shepherd. He is the provider. And he's going to provide, I want you to see this, he's going to provide us with what we need. Need. Emphasis, need. Not want, need. I know it says want there, but he's not saying I'm going to give you what you want. He said because of that, because God has provided all of our necessities, I don't want no more. I don't need no more. He's taking care of it. God's taking care of it. And so that's why we like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all the ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Psalm 37, 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. This means God is wants us to let go. And let God. Let go. And let God. Here's the key to this. If I think I'm in the driver's seat, if I think I'm the captain of my soul, then I look within for direction. I look within for direction. Right? I gotta get a plan. I gotta get it together. I got to. And you see the problem there is that when has that ever worked? That I'm able to complete and do all these things myself. No. That's us looking at our own self-sufficiency and thinking, I've got enough to even complete this task. And really. James says about people making plans and not putting God in their plans and things of that nature. You know, those plans will come to naught. We always ought to say, if the Lord wills. That ought to be in our vocabulary. Every decision we make, if the Lord wills. Our mindset needs to be, if the Lord wills. What is the Lord's will? And if the Lord wills, I will. The love of the shepherd, I'm going to keep moving. I know we got a meeting right afterward. Look at the protection of the shepherd. Probably one of the most powerful thoughts here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why don't you fear any evil? For thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. they comfort me. Jesus, this is the beautiful thing that we have as Christians. See, one of the things Jesus did not promise, that look, if you come and you follow me, man, it's easy sailing now. It's easy sailing now. No problems, no issues. Now, I want you to notice that the world sometimes packages this. The Christian world sometimes packages it this way. You know, you come and you follow Jesus Christ, and after that, it's smooth sailing until you get to heaven. And then in heaven, all the reward and all the blessings that you're going to have as a result of all that. And it's almost marketed like, just make this decision right now. Just say this prayer and ask Jesus in your heart. After that, man, you get your money get a little funny. Just pray and go to the mailbox and open it up. And then, man, there's a check in the mail. Whoa, Publishers Clearing House. Sometimes it's packaged that way. No problems. But I'm glad Jesus didn't package it that way. He says, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross in order to follow me. There's persecution that comes with following me. There's going to be pain with following me. So he's not promising protection from any type of problems and all that. What he's promising is, I will be with you even to the very end. Even as you're going through all this, even if you're going through that valley of this shadow of dark, this darkness, this dark valley rather, that includes death. He's saying, I'm with you. Why? I don't know if you know about this in the Bible, but Jesus, he claimed that after he was going to die, he would be sent to Hades and overcome. And that same power, and he did, just like just like Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so will the Son of Man be in the belly of this earth. Really, what he was talking about, him being in the Hades, awaiting that time, and how really showing victory over Hades, over death. And that victory that he had over death is the same victory we claim, because we're now aligned with him. Now we're joined with Jesus Christ. I'm getting a little too deep for y'all. That's all right, this Sunday morning. but here's the key. The worst thing we could probably think of in this world for us is death, right? I mean, we ponder it, we think about it. How will it be? I hope I go peacefully. I hope I go in the middle of the night. I hope I, come on, right? That's the scariest thing. And we recognize there's a transition that happens in death. I don't want to be alone when I go. You don't want to be alone when you go. And when I say I don't want to be alone, I don't mean I need to have my wife by my side. I'm saying I don't want to be alone with Domingo. I want to be clothed in those white robes that Jesus promised me. I want to be washed in the blood. I want to be victorious, knowing, recognizing that the same Jesus that had victory over this death, that also me too, that in the same power that it was able to make him rise from the dead is within me as a Christian. That's comforting. The Lord is protecting us now, and ultimately providing a protection for us forever. Let's look at this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I want you to see something just a little bit different about this. Here we have the enemies. He's saying, he's using this illustration of advancement, of promotion, of growth, of highlighting this one group over this other group. Here are the enemies that are out there. Now you have this banquet that's here. And I don't know, at some point someone stands up to give a toast or to give us some sort of commendation. And he's saying, before my very enemies, here you are promoting me, acknowledging me right there in the midst. I mean, looking at me special. Did I tell you God loves you? Do you see it? His love, his protection, his promotion. And it says right there in the very, really, I guess what I'm trying to see, because what's going to happen is, to imagine the people that are there. These are the enemies, and they see God promoting you. And oftentimes, you know what people do? Why him? Why her? Huh? And I want you to see this. God sees in us. Let me use a biblical term. Man looks on the outward. God looks at the heart. God sees what man can't see. God sees what man cannot see. So I was looking at a few different things in Acts 4:13. It says that they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Look at the difference of being with Jesus made, that these fishermen, these uneducated men, now were standing before educated men in the ways of religion, in the system of Judaism. They're standing before these men who beforehand had little knowledge of Scripture. Couldn't be able to recite and tell and articulate God's will for man from the very beginning and all that, just like the way Peter was able to articulate it in Acts chapter 2. So suddenly now he has all this knowledge of how all the pieces fit together. What made the difference? Was it him? Was it his intellect? I guarantee if you ask Peter, he'd tell you it wasn't. It was the difference that Jesus made in their lives. You remember this other story with in Nehemiah and this wall that was being built, and the walls had been in ruins, and Nehemiah sits there and decides to want to do something, and he gathers up people and resources and all that through God, of course, in order to do it. And after they'd done this miraculous thing in 52 days. Built these walls. I want you to see what it says here in verse 16, 15 to 16. So the wall was finished in 52 days. And it happened that when all of our enemies heard of it and all the nations around us saw these things, they were disheartened by their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. Why am I taking you here? God sees in us what no one else is able to see. God can do in us what we can't even do for ourselves. He can work through us in ways we would never even imagine. Y'all saw I came in a little bit late, right? Me and Mike were sitting out there just talking a little bit about, look how good God has been. Look how the doors that God opens in our lives. Look at God being God. You can't feel it like I feel it. That's all right. But look at God being God. God is huge. People look at you, they look at the situations and all that, and they look at flaws and they look at mistakes where God sees potential. People judge us based on the past, but God already sees not only the past, he knows the present, and he sees what he's able to do and accomplish in and through you in the future. People talk about all these things that have happened in the past as if it's the worst things possible, but I'm here to tell you that I've learned that God is able to use even the muck and the mire and the mess of the past in order to motivate us and move us to a future that he does, I mean, that we can't even comprehend. God will take all of that and those experiences and use them for his good. Look, what happened last week? Last week, we had a bilingual service. Brother came up here and preached a powerful sermon. Amen. He did a wonderful job. And I'm sitting here remembering a time where I was scared to stand up front and speak my little broken Spanish. I was scared. Now I'm preaching, teaching, counseling. I mean, everything in Spanish. Why? It wasn't me. It's all him. We first came in here that first day, I kept trying to tell one of the brothers, you're going to take this Bible study, right? You're going to take it, right? You're going to do it, right? And then God said, no, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to do it, Domingo. You. I don't have enough. I'm not smart enough, Lord. I'm the least in my, anyway, y'all. But my point is, look at what God is able to do. God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could even ask or think. God doesn't think on our level. God sees further. Look at when they were looking at David. They were looking at David and this little scrawny nobody. But what they couldn't see, they were looking at David. They couldn't see the God in David. And that's what makes all of the difference. The shepherd knows where we're going and desires to take us there. And ultimately, this is the whole key. There's a destination. There's a destination. Everything along the path, just like as a parent, as a father, there are sometimes I'm moving my children in a certain direction, and I can't tell them exactly every single step along the way. They don't have the experiences to be able to understand why I'm pushing them in this direction, why I'm moving them in this direction, why I'm encouraging them to get, and sometimes not just encouraging, forcing you to get into something or this or that, because I see the bigger picture. I'm trying to look at the bigger picture, and God's trying to look at the bigger picture in our lives. And sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. He's moving us into uncomfortable positions. But they're there for a purpose, because in that uncomfortable position, you're going to learn something about your relationship with God that you couldn't learn when things were easy, that you couldn't learn when things were going well. He has to sometimes take us into those dark moments, those dark valleys, in order to get our attention. You see light the best when you're in darkness. And sometimes he leads us into those valleys. Not to abandon us, but to help us walk through them. Oh, man. He helps us to walk through the valleys. Why? Because he's got a destination in store. He's got a place reserved in heaven for you. Won't you accept him this morning? Won't you allow him to be your shepherd? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He has a personal relationship with Jesus. And his shepherd can be your shepherd. His shepherd, he says, leads him, has a destination in store for him. And I submit to you that his shepherd is all of our shepherd, and that God has a place reserved, a place in store for us, a place that you've heard of as heaven. But even before heaven, you can be in heavenly places right now. You can be sitting in the abundance that God has for us right now in anticipation of the great day when he comes to make the final judgment and to give us our reward. You can be resting in that even today, this morning. Will you submit to Jesus Christ as Lord today? Will you surrender to him in baptism? Why baptism? Why? Jesus said, told his disciples to go out and preach the gospel. The gospel involves the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in the Jesus died, Jesus was buried, and Jesus rose on the third day. Romans 6 tells us that act that Jesus did on the cross in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, has significance for us, because when we die to our sins and when we are subsequently buried in baptism, the waters of baptism, then what happens is the same change that took effect to Jesus Christ when he went into that tomb, was buried in that tomb, and something shifted, something changed, something happened within there. When they opened the tomb, we recognize that his flesh was gone. His spirit had descended, really descended to then ascend. But Jesus had changed. There was a change that took place. And that's the same thing that happens in baptism. We die to our sins. We're buried in the watery grave of baptism. And we rise to to walk in newness of life. Maybe there's someone here, you need this newness. You need this new creature, to become a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. You come, you submit to him. You're buried in the water grave of baptism. And then that's the starting lines. So let's just be honest. That's the starting lines. Decide that you're going to live within him, for him, to the very end, because there is a destination. Amen. Maybe there's someone here this morning. You're subject to this invitation. This time, this opportunity is yours. If you're ready to be buried in the watery grave of baptism, become a child of God, start walking that new walk with him, even this morning, won't you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation?